Right, well, welcome everyone. Thank you for joining us on our fourth episode of the Science and Healthcare Sustainability Podcast. Eagle-eyed viewers and listeners will probably notice that we are not in the room with our guest today. So Lucy, our guest, is being even more sustainable than our last guests who travel by train and by Tesla. And we're actually doing this remotely. So let's see how this gets on. All right. So Alex, do you want to kick us off?
Yeah. First question we always ask our guests is, what does sustainability mean to you? What is sustainability to you?
Goodness, good question. To me, it means ensuring that we take care of the resources we have and ensure, and I was applied to healthcare because I've worked in healthcare my entire career, is ensuring that we have a healthcare system that provides for our future needs, for our children and our children's children. And I came into sustainability, really, I was a director of nursing before I came into sustainability, and I learned about the plight of the planet. And I've met some wonderful people on my journey and learned from some brilliant minds. And I think it was the ability to look my children in the eye and say, I tried. I really did try. And I used my influence and my drive and my network to really make sure that I was trying to engage hearts and minds. So sustainability for me is about my children's future and making sure they have the same privilege and opportunities that I've been fortunate enough to have.
Yeah,
great answer.
And obviously, you're working within healthcare, as you alluded to there. What do you feel the scale of the problem is in healthcare?
The scale of the problem with healthcare is enormous. And I think if I can use my skills to help educate and raise awareness with my clinical colleagues, with the patients that I take care of, and the populations that we serve, you know, that's winning the hearts and minds. I truly believe, and I am a nurse, so I acknowledge my bias, that if we can engage the nursing population globally, there's 28 million of us, we're the most trusted profession year on year across the planet. You know, we touch the hearts and minds of our patients every day from cradle to grave. We could see the seismic change we so desperately need to see to turn this around. So for me, the problems within healthcare are enormous. But actually, that goes into every single, you know, every single thing that we do across our lives. And our health, without our health, we're not here, are we? So it's the most intrinsic thing we need to change. Without a healthy planet, we don't have a healthy population.
Yeah. I guess that problem is kind of scaled as, well, the number of patients have increased, but also the need for technologies to be sterile and single use and those kind of things. So some of it may be a sort of necessary evil in terms of the plastic.
Okay. I think it's, we've got to start somewhere, and I think we've got to not get, I guess my strapline that I always use is, it's progress, not perfection. So yes, okay, we've moved. So I'm old enough to remember when we used the autoclaves and we reused our equipment, not everything obviously, and it's, we've become a bit reliant on that single use plastic, and so we've got to come back to reusing our resources. We have to, and through new technology that will advance more quickly. And changing people's behaviours is probably the most important thing. Learning from low resource countries is absolutely paramount. They don't have the resources that we have within, you know, within the developed world. So actually, what can we learn from them and bring into practice? There's so much we can do. How do that, and that's just the start of decarbonising our clinical pathways. You know, it's really about reducing and preventing the need for healthcare. Is that first step in that, you know, circular approach to clinical sustainable healthcare?
Yeah, absolutely.
Good, good. So tell us and our listeners a little bit about what it is that you do and where.
Sure. So I work for the Centre for Sustainable Healthcare. I'm the clinical delivery lead, but I can't help but get involved in lots of things when people get to know me. I kind of really want to make sure I can help, and I care about the projects that I deliver. So I'm part of part of a project that's been funded by the European Union, which is the single most largest investment to tackle climate change in healthcare. So it's enormous. It's focused on sustainable kidney care. So many of you may already know, but kidney care is about 8-10% of the global footprint of healthcare. Sounds, some people go, oh, really? And you think, well, actually, think about the number of single-use consumables, the number of patients that come through. So this project is quite revolutionary. It's called Kidney Care. And I'm really proud to be the clinical delivery lead, so doing a lot of the education across our pilot sites across Europe. And the things that we learned through this project will filter into all specialties. So, you know, the way that we insert lines, how we take our dressings, all of these things will actually filter out into all the specialties for us all to learn from it. So it's a really, really exciting project. It's the first project of its kind which is linked with industry. So we're working with our industry partners, academia, you know, education. It's a brilliant, brilliant project. I'm obviously very proud to be part of it. So that's kind of what I do. But I also, as a nurse, as I said, can't help myself. So leading on a number of initiatives for leading that change that I was talking about passionately for nurses to lead the way in this area. Nurses are great in a crisis. So really excited that we're working on a number of projects, one of which is looking at basically empowering nurses to lead the change. So we've got a brilliant nursing challenge at Centre for Sustainable Healthcare at the moment. It's open for applications. So I'd love to see applications from our nursing community. But also very excitingly, and I've only recently just announced this, we've got a large large funding bid from very kindly from the Burdett Trust for Nursing, who have means that we can train and upskill thousands of nurses in sustainable healthcare. So teaching them how to carbon footprint on SUSQI and all the wonderful things there. So my job, as you probably tell, is multifaceted, and I tend to go where my heart and soul tell me, but we're doing some really, really brilliant work, and we're really changing the way, the hearts and minds across healthcare, because we can't do this alone.
Yeah. Have you always been a nurse?
Yeah, you know,
from the start.
But when I left school, I did work in banking, which always makes me laugh. People that know me will think, goodness, but I was good at maths. So I did well there, but through personal circumstances, and I guess I can share it with you, is I lost my mum when I was quite young, and through that kind of cared for her and realised that my career path was going to take a different way. So I retrained as a nurse, and I've never looked back. Absolutely love it. It's and I've had lots of different roles. I think a lot of people say I've had an eclectic career, but I've basically gone where, you know, where my heart's told me to go and where I can make the biggest difference. So there, hence where I'm at the centre now, which I absolutely love. Love working at the Centre for Sustainable Healthcare. We're doing brilliant.
And it's your time as a nurse that inspired you to work within sustainability, seeing the issues, I guess, firsthand.
Yeah. I think, well, a number of things. Becoming a mum is obviously kind of paramount to everything on my decisions now. But I was very fortunate. I worked for the Florence Nightingale Foundation and was invited to partner with Nuffield Health on designing one of the first green leadership programs. Don't know if you've seen it. I hope you have seen it. It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. And it looked at piloting and teaching nurses on sustainable healthcare. That was a pilot. We weren't quite sure how it would work out. And it exploded. It took frontline nurses and gave them the basic tools to measure carbon, you know, and have some brilliant projects, small incremental changes to practice. And they saved huge amounts of carbon, but actually empowered them to go and lead change across their organisations. So anyway, we were really fortunate. We got asked to present at the International Congress for Nurses in Montreal. And oh my goodness, the people I met there, you know, when you meet people that just completely make your heart sing and inspire you. So I met a wonderful lady called Professor Teddy Potter. If you don't know her, look her up. She is the chair for the Planetary Health Alliance based in the US, but the most incredible woman. And she looked me in the eyes, I'm not kidding you, and she said, this is your soul's work. And I'll be honest, that's why I changed. I did a complete career pivot and then I've gone down this route. So look her up. She's inspirational. Yeah. And I think she said to me as well, and I quote her, I hope she won't mind, is she said, the world doesn't need more ecologists and environmentalists. It needs everybody in their chosen profession to work more sustainably. And that's what I'm here today. That's one.
Absolutely. You're the fourth guest as well to mention incremental changes, you know, small changes that make a huge difference if everyone does them, which is exactly what you've just sort of alluded to.
Small changes that everybody can do that aren't
hugely
difficult, that won't have a massive impact on the way they work or their results, but those changes that build into one big change is what we need. Tell us about some of the changes that you've made within your role.
In my role, goodness,
reduce the carbon footprint of
I guess I've influenced people to make that change. Some of my favorite projects, where do I start? I don't know if you've heard about the couch roll, a really small, simple project that the amazing Rachel Brown, plugging her there from Nuffield, bought. And so she said, we don't really need this couch roll that's on all our outpatient, you know, clinics. And it isn't. We actually procedure, because I've got a postgrad in IPC. Actually, we need to wipe it down anyway. It's a completely unnecessary thing we were doing. And so that's actually taken kind of a national, I think that the NHS have taken on that project as well. And it just made my heart sing. And I work at, in another role that someone was quoting back to me her project the other day. And I just sat and smiled and thought, this is exactly what we need to see. Another project, again, that with the brilliant Brittany Barron, I'm sure she won't mind me quoting her. Look these lovely ladies up. They're all brilliant nurses. Brittany Barron came and she did a couple of things. One of the things she did look at is replacing some of the plastic trays, kidney dishes we use for bagasse. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's a sugarcane alternative, just a waste product of the sugarcane industry. So she started looking at that and working on CE marking, kite marking for that, which was just for a nurse to do that, frontline nurse, just phenomenal. So it shows you empower people on the front line, the ideas they come with. Also looked at integrating, so looking at the length of stay of patients. Obviously, that has a massive impact on the carbon footprint and decarbonising that clinical pathway. So de-escalating treatment in ICU more rapidly, you know, making sure getting nurses to wean ventilation, all of those things, you know, it seems simple. Getting them ready for discharge in the morning, you know, it might sound really silly, but getting all their drugs ready so they can get home quicker. You know, all of these things make an absolutely massive difference. And then there's things like energy saving campaigns, you know, the basics, turning lights off if you're last in a room, you know, turning your computer off at night, the simple stuff we can all do, taking a reusable cup to work. You know, but there's so many projects I could share. Those are the two that kind of come into my mind. And I guess what's really great is there's thousands of resources. I don't know if I hope you've had a chance to have a look, Luke. It's on the Centre for Sustainable Healthcare website. Yeah. There are hundreds of case studies of people that have already done this. So it's not about reinventing the wheel. It's not about being really great, innovative, as you say, massive projects, the simple changes. And people have already done the work for you. So that carbon footprint, the triple bottom line's already been worked out. Use the resources on our website. They're free. They're absolutely free. You can lift and shift them into practice. So hundreds are coming to my head, like reusable crutches, you know, redesigning dressing packs so you don't have that one syringe that you never use and it gets thrown away, you know, recycling appropriately in theatres. There's hundreds and hundreds of things you can do. Education. So, lots.
A lot of what you said there is going back to, you know, reversing procedures that were put in place a long time ago that probably didn't need to be put in, but they've always been put in. And the next generation of staff that come through, it's always been that way for them. So they just continue doing it. So, you know, putting the bed covers on, why would we do that? I don't know. That's just what it was like when I started. So, you know, reusable crutches, why wouldn't they be reused? Well, at some point we introduced them not to be. So now that's the norm. So it's just reverting back to things that we were doing probably 30, 40 years ago anyway, we've implemented things that are, you know, for progress, but actually they've kind of moved us backwards in terms of the environment. The next question we're going to ask is, you know, how do you inspire your colleagues and are they interested in sustainability? They wouldn't be working there if they weren't, but in your experience in the wider healthcare community, is there interest in sustainability?
Or is there still resistance? Definitely a shift. Definitely a shift. I think when I started on this journey about 4 or 5 years ago, it was, you know, it was lots of closed doors or people not really understanding. But through legislation and regulatory changes, you're seeing a lot of people now sitting up and listening. And you probably see this within your line of work. It's the CQC is a great hook. You know, they're now inspecting it as part of their well-led key lines of inquiry. So, you know, that's a great way to get people to start listening. And all healthcare organisations have to demonstrate that all their staff understand the significant threat this poses to the human race. That's part of it. So, you know, that's, you're pushing on an open door now, so it's a lot easier. Legislation-wise, there's a lot coming. There's expectations from patients, from staff, from, you know, customers, clients, you know, big. So actually we have to change. So whatever people's hook is, you've got lots of arguments there now to draw them in. It's not, you know, if you can't apply, you can't appeal to their humanistic side, which I hope most of the time you can. You know, we need to do this for the greater good and our, you know, survival of the human race. Sounds dramatic, but it's true. Is actually you have to do this because this is regulation and legislation. So yes, there's definitely been a shift in the last year, I would say. And I don't think I'm getting called a tree hugger. I'm here to save the polar bears quite so much as I used to. People are not getting it.
I think it's fair to say that your passion shines through. So you probably struggle less than most people, you know, with the passion that you've clearly got for it. I mean, you're converting me.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad. I care.
Yeah, exactly.
I care about this, and I guess the driver is, it probably sounds, but it is, it's my children. I want that. And every the next generation, we need to make sure they have a healthy world to live in. You know, it's as simple as that, really.
I think a positive change we saw in the laboratory side as well is it's being linked to funding as well. And as soon as you say you're not going to get as much money unless you operate more sustainably, all of a sudden everyone's interested, which it doesn't really matter what the motivation is as long as it gets done, I suppose. But it would be nice if it was the former rather than the latter. But, you know.
I know.
So what's been the biggest challenge that you've faced? Or the biggest, couple of the biggest challenges that you've faced trying to get your message across, or
goodness, I don't know if I could share too much. It's I think the biggest challenge that I've faced is winning people's hearts and minds and them listening, and it's through, I guess, pure tenacity and stubbornness that I've just kept going. When people say no, you just find another angle, don't you, and a way around. But don't get me wrong, it's been, you know, it's like, why can't people see that this is so important? But I think you kind of get through that by finding your allies. So the wonderful Johnny Groom, I'm going to plug him there, and Adrian Breen have been brilliant, you know, from Real Zero, has been a brilliant kind of advocate and support. You know, keep going, you can push through. But it's, I think the biggest thing is people. And probably, I guess, the big elephant in the room, and I'll be honest, I did have a cry when he got re-elected, was Trump. You know, the climate deniers, you're like, how can you ignore all the evidence and science? You know, obviously, aren't well read, let's say. That's a politely way of putting it, isn't it? But that's probably the biggest challenge is people, getting people to understand what they need to do. And I guess back to your earlier point, it's just simple changes. And it's about progress, not perfection. You know, none of us are perfect, but if we all do these little bits, they'll all add up. You know, small incremental changes to everything we do will have a big impact on the planet. But we're seeing the economy boom within the UK as a result of all this brilliant green kind of process. So there's a great article out, I think it was yesterday, day before, from the World Economic Forum. I don't know if you've read it, but, you know, our economy is booming as a result of investing in clean energy. So, you know, watch this space. You either do it now, or you try and catch up later when it's a bit more expensive. Hopefully that'll get people on board.
Yeah. Absolutely. This question always stumps people. I'm sure it won't stump you. If you had a completely open door and there was no resistance, what three things would you implement tomorrow in a healthcare setting? What's going to make the most impactful change, do you think?
Oh, there's so many. Three, that's hard.
So I've got to limit you. Some people struggle to think of three.
Three, let's give three. I'm thinking about carbon hotspots now. So I guess if I'm looking at from specialty, I'll put my clinical head on. I think if we could, let's start with the basics. The Royal College of Surgeons Green Theatre Checklist. You know, if everyone could implement that in every single theatre across the world, let's go big, globally, we'd see a big change. We'd see a big, big change. You know, the use of anaesthetic gases, that's a big carbon hotspot. So that's number one. There's lots on that list, but we'll go, that's number one. Yeah. Number two, so there's some brilliant work. So that I think a huge investment. I know NIHR are doing a lot on this now, so a big plug to them. They're doing, they're asking for submissions. So if you haven't got a submission, you've got a brilliant idea, go to the National Institute for Health Research about projects and innovations on how we can rapidly change healthcare. That would be my push. But I guess I work with a brilliant Professor Karen Garrison. I'm going to plug her. She's another brilliant mind like Teddy. She's the brains behind an artificial kidney that can be implanted. So completely necessitating the need for dialysis, which is hugely carbon burdensome. So if her work could get pushed through, that would be amazing. So I don't know, any listeners support her work. She's amazing. And she's part of the Kidney Care Project I was talking about. So all these brilliant innovations you're going to hear about. So follow us, follow our website, and follow what we're doing. We've got our AGM next week, so I'm sure there'll be lots coming on the back of that. Thirdly, I think it's people. I think is it a magic wand kind of thing? Can I be allowed to have a magic wand?
Yeah, everyone has
So I would love the big countries of the world to follow what we're doing in the UK. I would love America, Russia, China. And mind you, to be fair to China, they are doing quite a bit. But but it's just to start thinking this is a reality and we all have to work together as a global community to put this right. So there isn't time for, you know, denying and wars and arguments. We need to work together as a human race to stop the plight of our planet. Sounds a bit cheesy, but it's true.
No, absolutely. I mean, interesting you say about other countries. We're actually recording next week with an American recycler called Polycarbon, Charles Polycarbon. Okay. And I'm really keen to hear from them what kind of pushback they get, because our perception is that we're trying to do quite a lot in the UK, and actually certain other countries, it's not really high on their agenda, but it'd be great to get their take on it.
Whether I'd be really interested. They were doing a lot. I know President Biden was doing a lot. I know through Teddy, and then through, I don't know if you've heard of the Alliance of Nurses for Healthy Environments. Again, pop up on your list to read if you haven't read about them and follow them. They're doing some brilliant work. And I know she was at Washington, which is Kate Huffling, their chief exec. Did a lot of work with the government within the states, but I know she's been pretty, you know, she's put something out on LinkedIn, so I can say it without her worrying, but you know, she's challenging the current president on their views and their approach. So there's a lot of good people within the US that are doing brilliant things. Let's just hope they're not stopped and they can progress their work.
Absolutely. And the green checklist, we've actually got a white paper on that. We did read that one. and there's some great stuff in there. And some of it is really easy changes. You know, it's almost like you read it and you think, well, why does that need mentioning? It should be natural to do that. But obviously, people are following SOPs. And again, a great shout out to Aconix, who've got a cardboard waste container, which, you know, why wouldn't you use cardboard? It seems like
exactly.
behind us. So, yeah, that's a great read for anyone who's interested in reducing their carbon footprint, for sure.
Do you think it's possible for healthcare to be entirely carbon neutral, or do you think it's inevitable that there's always going to be an element of waste and plastic use?
Good question. We don't know that yet, do we? Because we don't know what net zero looks like. But I think, it's worth anything. So Dr. Francis Mortimer, I am plugging on my lovely colleagues now. If you haven't been on the CSH website, have a look. There's a wonderful page on SUSQI, which is the Sustainable Quality Improvement. And it's about measuring our projects. Francis, who wrote a paper, The Sustainable Physician, which I'm sure you've read, Luke. But it's about sustainable value within our healthcare system. So I think if that's adopted, Samir Gray as well has written some brilliant papers on, you know, value-based healthcare, and that's based on the similar principles. But if you integrate SUSQI into your methodology for your innovation and change projects, then you start thinking about, you know, the impact of what you're doing on the environment, your carbon footprint. And Francis' view, and I do agree, is that through clinical innovation, we will get to net zero. You know, it's very easy to stop using your energy, implement changes, you know, swap out your plastics. You know, all of those things will happen because they have to. But then there's always going to be a carbon footprint. How do we offset? So I think through clinical innovation, hopefully some carbon capture and, you know, afforestation or whatever else we need to do to get ourselves there. But it's going to be tricky. It's going to be tricky.
Yeah.
Nothing will. We don't know what net zero means yet. We use the term, but we don't know. And that's across all systems and across all industries.
Yeah. Those innovations, often when they're first adopted or first introduced to the market, because there isn't the economies of scale, are often more expensive. You know, they're a slight uplift on what the current... Is it worth paying that uplift, do you think, for the greater good?
Yeah. You know what my view will be, of course.
It's a silly question.
I would argue a little bit is that, you know, low carbon care is low cost care. That's been Greener NHS have been, you know, have written lots of papers on that. It's not, you know, if you're reducing carbon, there is normally a commercial financial reduction as well. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have to be big, huge investment. And usually if you do need investment, you can demonstrate, you know, through business cases that you'll get your funds back through, you know, through a number of years. The other thing to consider is that, you know, carbon tax is coming on imported goods. So actually it's commercially sensible for you to make these decisions as well. So I would challenge anybody, you know, obviously you might need to do that initial CapEx investment, but actually it's thinking long term. And I think the problem with businesses and any organisations is we look at risks in a 3 to 5 year window. Actually, we need to start looking, you know, up to 2040, 2050, don't we? And then when you look at realise the gains that you'll make, you know, you're thinking more broadly and long term. You know, it's the costs will probably outweigh, you know, the benefits will outweigh the costs, should I say, the other way around. So, yeah, I challenge low-cost care is low-carbon care and high quality. Yeah. So, and there's lots of papers as well. Go on Greener NHS. There's lots of evidence to support what I'm saying.
Yeah. Our last guest, Jay from Biograd, he hit the nail on the head with his sort of answer to that. It was basically the uplift they had to pay slightly on some freezers that they bought, the energy saving paid for those freezers, or the difference within a year. I mean, the payback was so quick. And then for the next 9-10 years of the lifetime of that product, they're in cash positive. They're actually earning money by having them. So, yeah, I totally agree with what you're saying.
So many examples, like the LED lighting, you know, there's so many solar panels, etc. We could go on.
Yeah. Interesting story. Lampadina is Italian for light bulb. And back in 2015, Lampadina started life as a company doing project LED conversions.
Nice segue.
So we've been there from the start.
I didn't know that. I should have known that. Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. That's really good. Really good.
But that methodology we've carried on today. So we've got an EnvaMed system, which basically reduces the volume of waste by 80%. And also changes it from, you know, hazardous clinical waste down to domestic standards. So much, much cheaper to get rid of. Less trucks come into site. So we can do those payback calculations really quick for people. We just need the data. And I think more access to that kind of data would be really, really useful for companies to sort of make these
projections
available. Yeah.
What plans do you have for the future? Is it just to carry on as you are doing? Are there any big things in the pipeline?
Can't stand still. You can't, can you? We've got to keep pushing forward. And the Centre for Sustainable Healthcare is an amazing organisation, and I've said that again, but you're working with like-minded individuals who really want to make a difference. So all the time we're looking at new ways of innovating. The primary purpose of our organisation is to educate. So, you know, we need to educate far and wide. So, you know, we need to make sure that we're having an influence over the globe. We share our resources. So there are hundreds of case studies. Our networks have 34 different specialties, so you can find things that are applicable. So for me, it's about everyone recognising the resources that we have, the free, use them and use them to impact. But for me, I think I'm back to my nursing roots, is I want to capitalise on these 28 million nurses and win their hearts and minds and make them recognise that they can really be the change that we need to see. You know, nurses are brilliant in a crisis. Look how we stepped up in the pandemic. We can do it again. So I think I'm kind of appealing to my fellow nurses and midwives is, you know, let's be the change we need to see. And I won't stop until we get there. So, come with us on the journey. It'll be fun.
Yeah. So you're trying to mobilise your army of sustainable...
We have to. Let's be serious. We have to. The government's...
For what is effectively a bigger pandemic.
We're lucky in the UK, but globally, the governments aren't working as quickly as they need to. So we need to keep going.
Yeah. And how is your organisation funded then? Because obviously it must be a challenge. You're making all your resources, essentially the fruits of your labour, you're giving to people. So, you know, how do you fund that?
It's a good question. Through grants and tenders and through Goodwill, some donations as well. So you can donate to our site. So it's, you know, follow us. There's a lot of very good people at our organisation who are doing really good work. So anyone listening is inspired and wants to come and volunteer. You can come and volunteer and work with us. You can fund some trees through the NHS forest. You know, how about that? You're helping to plant more trees, which is obviously what we need, afforestation. But also you can fund projects. You can fund a sustainability challenge. You know, organisations like you could fund a nursing challenge. So, and what's brilliant about our challenges, I guess, and also organisations, healthcare organisations can come and send their staff, is what I love about our SUSQR Green Challenges is the average project saves around £59,000 for their trust. So you get your money back just from sending one team onto one of our challenges. We've just had a maternity challenge. If you could plug that and share the savings and the impact there, you know, it makes complete commercial sense to send your staff on our courses. Yeah. So. Yeah, have a look. We've got carbon footprint courses. We've got a green challenge. We've got SUSQI. You know, we can help you write your green plan for your organisation. We can help you decarbonise your clinical pathways. You know, look at your products, give you real credibility. Because obviously we've got brilliant statisticians that have worked in this for years, so and lead the way. So, you know, come and join us. Come and help spread the message. But send some funding our way too would be amazing.
Yeah. Could you perhaps detail more about the midwife course? Or what would they do?
So that was funded by the Royal College of Midwives and the Royal College of Obs and Gynae. So they funded a challenge. We have lots of green challenges in different specialties. We had the theatre challenge as well. And all of these case studies are free for you to access their work. So essentially you get up to six teams of which are led by a midwife, and it can be other, it can be MDT. And essentially they come with an idea from their organisation, and we help them to measure that, well, to put it into a project idea, an innovation that's going to make a difference. We help them measure, we help them implement, and then we kind of support them through the 6 months. And they come and present at our showcase event, which is just wonderful. And they're so proud of their achievements. And then they can demonstrate the value and impact through the triple bottom line measures. So it's amazing. And they can go back to their organisations and share it across their specialty as well. So it's kind of a win-win, really. So if you're not doing it, I urge you to come and get involved. But we've got a nursing challenge on the same vein, which is open now for applications, I think I said earlier. So the Green Nursing Challenge, which was kindly funded by Microtech. Thank you, Gareth. Thank you massively, Gareth Bullen, and all at Microtech, who funded that programme, because he could see the work that we do is making a massive impact. If you've got CSR budgets, come and support us.
Yeah. I guess the key to that as well is they go back to their organisations and that filters out, and you kind of have this ripple effect where everyone gets interested, and then that's great. That's fantastic. So other than your website, is there anywhere else we can find information about your organisation, what you do?
Yeah, we're doing projects with the Greener NHS. So have a look. We're doing the Sustainable Kidney Project at the moment. That's on obviously what the nursing project I've spoken about as well. So I guess how you can get involved, apply for our courses. You know, we've got fully funded for nurses coming up, which is great. So thank you to the Burdett Trust. Just follow us. Kit New Care is one of our projects that we're heavily involved in, which is the EU project I was talking about earlier. We've got the NHS Forest, which is run by my colleagues. So actually you can get free trees. If you're treating NHS patients, you can get trees and bushes planted within your healthcare setting, so patients can enjoy green spaces, but also you're supporting the environment as well. So there's much you can do, and I'll share all the links so that you can all benefit.
We'll make sure. Yeah, we'll make sure all the links are in the comment sections below.
Thanks
the relevant.
So
you've given us a view of what people can do professionally, but from a personal point of view, how can people get involved? How can people make a difference?
I've got to give credit to the Real Zero team. They are doing some brilliant work. So Hugh Montgomery leads that with I've been working with Adrian, who I mentioned earlier. They've got the brilliant 7 steps to save the planet. So it's please do look, and I'll share the details with you. But it's about changing where you bank, and you can move your banking out to somewhere which is less carbon, like away from Barclays, for instance, into somewhere like Nationwide. Nationwide will even pay £150 to transfer your account. Move your energy supplier to Octopus, which is absolutely brilliant. Again, I think they pay you, I won't correct the amount because I get it wrong, but they will pay you funds to transfer across. It's about buying secondhand, you know, growing your own vegetables, buying locally, like all these brilliant things we can do, nudging your friends and colleagues and family to do the same. So, you know, all these things will mount up to big changes. Their website's brilliant. So have a look on there and do support them. They're a brilliant organisation.
Brilliant. Absolutely. Lucy, before you go, is there anyone, you've mentioned so many names that we've written down here, but is there anyone you would recommend to come on the podcast who would give another slant or more information? Or
Johnny Groom
who speaks
is like
as passionately as not
legend. Johnny Groom's a legend. He's the lead of GASP. He was on the Green Leadership Program. I worked with him there. Adrian Breen is brilliant. There's so much to get involved in. So yeah, we just need the funds, I guess, as well.
That's the key, isn't it? Well, thank you, Lucy, so much for coming and talking to us so passionately about a subject you're clearly very knowledgeable on. I would urge everybody to go to your website and follow the links, as Alex said, below in the comment section, and find out more. There's a wealth of information there available to you for free. So go and absorb it and hopefully implement it within your organisations.
Yeah. And don't forget to like, subscribe, hit that bell icon so you're always notified of the next one. Lucy, it's been great. Really, really great. Love your passion.
Yeah. Thank you so
much. I really appreciate you taking the time to come and speak to us.
Nice. Well, I hope I get to meet you in person soon. But thank you so much for your time, and keep in touch. I'm sure there's lots of great things we can do together.